flipping a home, opening a successful business. People, are you ready? Meet your personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Leib.
Get ready for Leib on the Loose,
who will help you get started in building your real estate empire. Grow your self-confidence, find your grit, and get the skills needed to dominate the real estate world.
You're a player.
This is Real Estate Investing with Andrew Leib.
Ew. Lauren, I can't believe we just had that conversation. As we were walking into the studio, we were talking to some of our staff, and they were saying to us that they eat pizza that was out the night before, Lauren. I can't even get into real estate yet.
You're adults.
No, here's what they do. They leave. There was a box of pizza from a pizza party we had at the office, and it was sitting out. And I was like, we forgot to put it in the fridge. I was about to go throw it out. And four different people came up to me as I was walking out the door, and they were like, no, you eat that. That's good.
Not good.
Not good. I'm like, so I can't even think about investing right now. My stomach is turning over. So what do you think? Do you think that you're supposed to eat the pizza if it was out? So I think you wrap it in tinfoil. You can put it in the fridge or the freezer. It's really good when you put it back on the toaster. But this is like a big New York problem for me because like, I don't see how you can eat the pizza like that. It's like disrespectful to the pizza place. We went to Menino's, one of the best pizza places around, and I feel like I should write an apology letter to Menino's that they're eating their sitting out pizza from overnight.
Not if they're happy.
I don't know, guys. I don't know. It's a good thing we're celebrating July 4th weekend right now because I'm not having pizza at all. This is hot dogs, this is hamburgers, this is corn, and this is my beautiful bride's birthday. So I just want to wish Lauren a happy birthday. Thank you. She was born on the 4th of July. She and America, that's how we roll together. And Lauren, you've been doing some stuff yourself on the Facebook. You've become a big Facebook aficionado. Tell us about this new group that you became a member of.
Okay. Well, first off, I've been saying a lot that I like these Facebook groups because it's my own market research. And I just found the most fantastic Facebook group.
I don't mean to cut you off. I want to hear about this Facebook group, but I need some people to do me a favor. Go on the Listen to Leib on the Facebook and comment if we're right about this pizza thing, because okay. I need to show my staff that it is not okay to eat day old pizza. Like you got to put it in the refrigeration first. I want you all to help me help them not get stomach problems.
So I guess the question is how long could you leave pizza overnight until it's not good anymore?
How long can you leave it out?
Like two days, three days.
I think 2 hours. 2 hours. It goes right into. Okay. It's nauseous.
Sometimes America doesn't vote with us when we're on like American Idol or all those other shows. So I'd like to hear from you guys.
What is the maximum amount of time you can leave pizza out, the delivery pizza, before it's got to be refrigerated if you want to eat it the next day? That's what I want to know. And my staff's telling me 2 days. I think that is just.
All right, but you know, you never know. Some people could.
So anyway, I want to hear about this Into the Unknown group that you're doing on Facebook.
All right, so Into the Unknown was a group started in April, and the premise, the reason everybody got into this group was, should they leave New York City? And we always say that New York City real estate affects all real estate. So I don't know if you all remember, but way back a couple of months ago, I think I put it on episode 46.
And it was 46 through to 49, Lauren. We were talking about how everyone's going to be having a boom market outside the city because this was right in the heat of the worst part of New York coronavirus.
Yeah. And it's hard to gauge the reaction because people are in the middle of this trauma. So it's been a couple of months.
That's a good point, though, because a lot of people, like I was just thinking about my stocks, Lauren. I was thinking about stocks and I was thinking about, wow, the stock market's been killing it recently. Like, I don't know if you saw, jobless claims are in a good state today. Like the stock market, like it's good. Like things are going well. And I'm thinking, why didn't I move faster? I could have made so much money. But I was in the sense of shock when coronavirus was happening.
Everybody was so scared. And so you don't know what to do.
I was frozen.
Yeah. So we predicted a couple of months ago that people are going to leave New York City to go an hour and a half outside of the city.
And the reason we did that and the reason why we thought that was, and it makes a lot of sense, is that a lot of these businesses were saying, and they still are, that you're going to be able to do remote work. And we said, this is different than before when remote work first came out, because you have this pandemic and people are realizing, hey, I can have a huge room. I could have a huge yard. I could have a green screen room where I could just be doing my own Zoom or Google Meet calls straight from my room. So we thought that an hour and a half from the city is that this sweet spot of great space you're getting, great outdoors you're getting, great trails in nature you're getting, great availability you're getting. We thought this was the spot to be able to boom.
Well, what's interesting is it's also close enough that if you needed to go back into the city, you could. So that's why we thought the hour and a half. So that's what we talked about a couple of months ago. Now, I'm looking at this group Into the Unknown on Facebook, and there are so many posts of people saying, I'm looking to go an hour and a half outside of New York City.
Well, before we go into the post, what I want to know, Lauren, is because did you have to become a member into the unknown? I always get sketched out on Facebook when you have to like apply and they have like questions and I feel like I'm not going to make it. Like there's no practice test. No, seriously. Like how pathetic are you if you get rejected from a Facebook group? Like have you ever been rejected from a Facebook group? Like I'm not talking about when they kicked out because you're saying bad things.
If you're in a mom group and you're not a mom, then you can get rejected. Unless you answer that.
What about Mr. Mom? You haven't seen that movie?
There's Mr. Mom groups, I'm sure.
Like there should be. So anyway, so there's this hour and a half from the city. This is what they're asking in this group, which apparently I'm not cool enough to be a member of. It's called Into the Unknown. And this whole group is about people leaving the city because they're leaving in droves. What are we learning from them?
Oh, they're great. First off, people are talking about timing the market. This was my favorite. Somebody said, well, what should I do now? Should I sell at a tolerable loss now to free up cash?
And just so we're clear, I don't know what a tolerable loss means. I have never felt tolerating of a loss, but she was tolerating a loss.
These are the debates going on right now. Ugh. Should I sell at a tolerable loss now and free up cash and then create flexibility for an unknown future? Then I'm going to rent in the city, buy back in the later time when the market is really down. So this person's trying to time the market.
When you need that many chips to fall in your direction, you will lose. I'm telling you right now. So what she's trying to do is mitigate her loss hedging. Then she wants to be able to go rent so she's not locked in long term. Mm-hmm. And then she wants to buy on the low and be able to get up. I'm going to tell you investors a rule right now. Never try and time the bottom and never try and time the top. What you want to do is you want to go on an upswing. That's what you want to do. You want to wait until momentum's going. It's just like stocks in the same way. You don't want to say, I bought on the absolute floor. Like a lot of people are saying right now, you can get a loan, an interest loan, a loan on a property, a mortgage. You can refinance. They're saying you could get it at 2.85%, something like that. And then some people are like, well, maybe we'll go down to 2.8. Maybe I don't want to do it now. 2.75. Like, who cares? Like, if you're in or about 3 and you could get a loan, you already scored. Like, there were loans in the 12, 13, 14% years ago. You should be thrilled you're under 5%. You don't need to time the market completely. So this gal that wants to do this, I have no problem with her selling, and I think it's a good idea on the trajectory of selling. I have no problem with her renting. But this idea that she's going to rent until the ideal time to buy and then hedge the market, and does she think about all the transactional costs, Lauren? How much is she going to lose getting out? And how much is she going to lose getting in? Last week's segment, we went on a whole thing about you have to pay your transfer tax on the way out. You have to pay your mortgage tax on the way in. You have to pay the broker's fees both ways. New York City has its own transfer tax. There's just fees, 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 fees. And forgetting the title insurance you're going to have to pay and the attorney you're going to have to pay. And the practicality of it is you're probably going to need to get an appraiser and all sorts of other JS. You know how much lost money you're getting when you're timing the market? What you really need to say is if this is my primary residence, I'm not going to play games. If it's a secondary residence, if it's a place that you're making money on, I'm good with you playing games because, you know, you're trying to make a business out of it. But if this is your primary residence, what happens if she prices herself out of New York City and then she can't live there then?
Well, the other thing that she's talking about is, should I keep the apartment and hope for the best and then be stuck with a depreciated investment in 1 to 3 years and then I can't give it away?
Well, you know what? Again, it's your primary residence. If you're stuck with something you can't give away and you want to live there, that's the choice. So I guess my point to everyone is you have to segregate real estate. There is a difference. The one you invest with is not the one you live in. You know how everyone goes, your home is your best asset? It's not. Your home is your biggest liability. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, on my house, I was going to trim a plant. I was very proud of myself. I said, I usually have a gardener and he does all this stuff and he missed something. And I was like, I can do this. I don't need to nag him. I'm going to go. There was some dead branches around it. So I went with my thing to trim the plant, Lauren, and I kicked the sprinkler and broke the head off this week.
Well, that's not really surprising. No, anybody that knows Andrew knows that there's usually accidents when he tries to do physical labor.
It went flying. So I kicked this thing off, and that's a liability. Why? Because I got to go now pay to repair it. I have to pay my mortgage. I have to pay my insurance. Forgetting the gardener I mentioned before. When you own your primary residence, it's not bringing income in. You're paying for it. The investment is the property that you're renting out. If you're not generating income on a real estate, it's not an investment. And then some idiot said to me, you know what they say? Well, I sold it for a lot more than I paid for it. I want you to calculate how much money you spent upgrading it. That kitchen didn't look like that when you bought it. That bathroom didn't look like that when you bought it. Just redoing the hardwood floors. How much money you've spent on capital improvements, updating it throughout the years, how much you spent on maintenance, and then calculate how much a comparable house would have been if the landlord was doing all that. And you're going to see you spent more money this way. And then what's going to happen is that maybe you didn't make as much money as you did. I'm not saying you won't make money. There is appreciation. But your investment is the house that's generating income, gal. That's why I'm not going into the unknown, because I like to go into the known.
Okay. Well, when we're talking about people going into that, to the known and moving, I was reading about some really fascinating moving issues. So apparently people who are trying to, in New York City, save money on moving and move themselves, they're ordering U-Hauls and they're getting trucks to do it. They're not actually getting them delivered on the day that they move. And
what does that mean?
A huge problem that when they need to hire a moving company, because the moving companies are showing up, but if they're holding trucks and rentals for themselves to do it, they're saying, the companies are saying, sorry, there's no inventory left.
So let me understand. Let me just understand. People do it themselves mm-hmm. are renting trucks, and the mm-hmm. trucks aren't available because they're going to priority to the moving companies.
Oh, yeah.
So the moral of the story, Lauren, is you got to use a moving company. My relative was saying to me recently, it's too hard for me to move. Just write a check. And if you can't afford the check, like, what is the moving company going to cost you? $3,000, $4,000, $5,000? If you can't afford the check, how are you buying the $500,000 house? How are you buying? If you're that redlined, you're going to be a foreclosure person. Please don't redline that much. If you want to find out some fascinating things about what's going on in the market, again, we were talking about moving an hour to an hour and a half from the city before even this into the unknown. It's the future. What you got to do is you just got to go on to www.listentolieb.com and you got to look at our whole catalog. There's episodes everywhere. You're going to learn so much of how to be an investor. We're going to be back after the break and tell you what's going on with telehealth, about the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, New York City reopening. We'll get back to it. Stay with us.
This is Real Estate Investing with Andrew Lieb. Find us on social media at Listen to Lieb or visit listentolieb.com.